Good morning. My name is Jeremy Africa, and as the lead pastor of Midland First United Methodist Church, and on behalf of all who are helping to lead worship today, we're grateful for the opportunity this morning on this beautiful Sunday morning in Michigan and in Advent to worship with you. I quickly want to highlight some information that you'll find in your bulletin this morning, also in your weekly email from the church. If you aren't yet receiving those e-blasts, they contain a lot of information about what's going on in the life of the church. I encourage you to contact the church office if you aren't receiving them. But I do want to highlight the times of our Christmas Eve services coming up this week. We have three services planned, one at 4 o'clock that has been planned specifically for our families, for those with children. It will be a very active, very lively Christmas Eve service. And so there will be opportunities for all the children who attend to be part of a living nativity. So encourage you to bear that in mind. And then at 7 o'clock, we will have our traditional Christmas Eve service that will include several of our choirs helping to lead worship. And then 11 o'clock is a more quiet, a more introspective service, which includes the sacrament of Holy Communion. So encourage you to find a service that might fit how you wish to worship on Christmas Eve. Certainly encourage you to invite those in your circle, family members, friends, neighbors, those you know. Invite them to be a part of worship on this special evening, as Christmas is all about heaven's light breaking through and dwelling among us. So encourage you to be mindful of that. Also want to point out our office hours throughout the holidays. The church office and building will be closed December 25th and 26th. Also December 30th through January 2nd. So please be mindful of this in the coming weeks as you plan your trips to the church or plan to interact with those of us in the church office. We're grateful to be able to extend this time off to our excellent church staff for all their efforts here in Advent, leading up to all of our Christmas Eve services, and honestly, throughout the year. And so if you'll be mindful of that, we would appreciate that. With all of that, I'm going to invite our friend Alec forward to come and bring us back into worship together after our time of greeting. But as we do that, invite you to all stand and to greet one another this morning. Thank you.
When the people were looking for deliverance, the prophet Micah declared, "But you, O Bethlehem of Ephrathah, from you shall come forth for me one who is to rule in Israel, whose origin is from old, from ancient day." But what if Micah is also talking to us, proclaiming, "But you, O United Methodist Church of Midland, from you shall come forth to me." What might God be calling forth from us?
We light this candle of love as a sign of our commitment to live as people of God's promise, a promise of salvation and flourishing for all people that springs forth from God's love for all creation.
Amen. Let us stand and join one another in our opening hymn, "Once in a Royal David City," page 250 in our hymnal.
If the children could join me, please. Wow, look at all these brave people fighting the cold to come to church. Yay, team. This is wonderful. And I have an announcement for the youth, including those who are in the balcony. If you are willing, we could really use your help in Sunday school this morning. We have snow day makeup work to do. So if you could, youth, join us, I'd appreciate it. Thanks. So last week, we had a snow day. First snow day for church I ever remember. And the shepherds got put in the nativity despite the snow day. The shepherds are at the manger because the angel spoke to them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them. The angels brought good news of great joy for all people. It is a bit cool that the angels went to the shepherds first. The shepherds were just doing their very ordinary job. So ordinary, they were often considered unimportant. Yeah. But they knew to listen to God's messengers. They were faithful. Today, we celebrate the wise men who've been traveling to see Jesus. And why did they go on this trip? What did they see?
Huh?
A star. The star led the wise men to Jesus. What did they bring?
Gifts.
Because they knew that Jesus was a king and worthy of worship. The gifts they brought were very expensive and indeed were the best they could find in their homeland. The gifts help us understand Jesus just like the wise men did. Gold is for nativity. It seems the wise men somehow knew Jesus was the Son of God. Frankincense was often burnt as an offering to God. Myrrh was a spice that hinted at the end of Jesus' life as he died for us. Jesus was for everyone, even the shepherds and the foreigners. Okay, guys, we're going to go up to the altar calmly, slowly, together as a team. We're going to go up to the altar, finish the nativity, and say a prayer. And I'm sorry to bother the congregation with this. When you get to the room, go to the learning table. Okay. Walking, please. Ooh, where should the wise men go? They're still far away. They're far away. Silas, I'm with you. Let's put them there. Way down there. Here, Owen. Put it down there, honey.
3 days late.
Can you? They're always late. Okay, Violet, can you go up there and put your wise men? Okay, let us pray. Let us pray. Dear Jesus, thank you for the shepherds and their sheep. Help us to be your good shepherds always. Keep us faithful. And Lord, may we always walk with you, even if it is a long, hard walk, like it was for the wise men. Amen.
Lift up your eyes, for the light is shining. Hope is dawning on the world. So make ready your heart, make ready your soul. Hope is dawning on the world.
Lift up your eyes,
for the light is shining.
Lift up your eyes. What do they call him?
The root of Jesse.
What do they call him?
The Lion of Judah.
What do they call him?
Seed of David. Christ is coming to the world.
Won't you lift up your
eyes? Lift up your eyes, for the light is shining.
Won't you lift up? Why is he coming?
To save God's people.
Why is he coming?
To bring salvation. Christ is
Christ is coming.
Jesus Christ is coming.
Jesus Christ is coming. Yes, Lord, He is dawning on the world.
God, we do praise you for who you are and for all that you've given to us. Thank you for these gifts that you've given us so that we can give them back to you. Bless them and use them as you see fit. We love you and we thank you so much. We pray all this in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
Our scripture reading this morning comes from Matthew chapter 2, verses 1 and 2 and 7 through 12. Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea during the reign of King Herod. About that time, some wise men from eastern lands arrived in Jerusalem asking, "Where is the newborn King of the Jews? We saw his star as it rose, and we have come to worship him." Verse 7. Then Herod called for a private meeting with the wise men, and he learned from them the time when the star first appeared. Then he told them, "Go to Bethlehem and search carefully for the child. And when you find him, come back and tell me so that I can go and worship him too." After this interview, the wise men went their way, and the star they had seen in the east guided them to Bethlehem. It went ahead of them and stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were filled with joy. They entered the house and saw the child with his mother, Mary, and they bowed down and worshipped him. Then they opened their treasure chests and gave him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. When it was time to leave, they returned to their own country by another route, for God had warned them in a dream not to return to Herod. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Before we get to the sermon this morning, just have to acknowledge, it just fills my heart, the children's blessings, and to see that energy and spirit gather at the front of our sanctuary, and almost like a taste of our 4 o'clock Christmas Eve service. And I just want to thank our parents and grandparents for your commitment to raising your children in the church. I understand it takes a dedication to do that today, and greatly appreciate their presence in the church and what they bring to the body that otherwise we wouldn't have. So thank you. Let us pray. Now, Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be pleasing to you, for you are our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Little did I know that when I chose to base this year's Advent sermon series on a study entitled "An Unlikely Advent," little did I know that we would only gather for worship for 3 Sundays in Advent. Who knew that would be the case? But thank you for your understanding as I've consulted with church leaders, and we made the call to cancel last week's service. With our cancellation of last Sunday's service, I thought I'd finish up this series with what I had planned to preach last Sunday. So today we return to Matthew chapter 2. And as Pastor Bethany just read, Matthew shares Now, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of Herod the king, the Magi from the east arrived in Jerusalem saying, "Where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For we saw his star in the east and have come to worship him." Two Sundays ago, continuing our sermon series based on Rachel Billups' Advent study, An Unlikely Advent, we visited this particular passage of Matthew's telling of the Christmas story. In doing so, we focused on King Herod. And if your Advent season hasn't been busy enough to make you forget, we thought about Herod. We thought about his words and how he spoke words of limitations, a prophetic limitation. And we also thought about how our words might be spoken as prophetic possibilities. So then we focused on King Herod. Today, returning to Matthew chapter 2 and to Bethlehem, we turn our attention to the curious people, as Rachel Billups calls them, from the east. And I greatly appreciate the work that Rachel does in her Advent study to demystify the Magi, to demystify the wise men from the east. After all, having sung "We Three Kings of Orient Are" for over 165 years, and having nestled the wise men into our nativity sets for untold years, there's often some necessary myth-busting, some debunking to do of common perceptions or misperceptions to fully appreciate the role of the Magi and all that we come to learn from them and about our place in the Christmas story. And so it's great that Rachel brings up that nowhere in Scripture is it ever specified how many visitors come from the east. Now, I know you might be tempted to flip to Matthew chapter 2 and say, "Are you sure they don't say three?" Because in our minds, that's what we're accustomed to envisioning, yes? Three wise men. After all, there were three gifts. So there must have been just three of them. But there's nothing in Matthew's gospel limiting us to three or saying that there were three. In addition to calling into question the number of Magi, Billups also dispels the common notion of the timing and place of their visit. Rightfully pointing out that at the time of the wise men's visit, there's no mention in Matthew's gospel. And Matthew's gospel is the only one that tells us about their visit. But there's no mention of a stable. There's no mention of a manger. There's no mention of a child swaddled in cloths. Instead, the wise men visit Jesus and his mother Mary in a house with these undefined gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. We certainly have our ideas as to why gold, why frankincense, and why myrrh, but Matthew doesn't say so. And without mention of Jesus' earthly father, Joseph, being by their side. And so while we nestle the wise men into our nativity set, if you've done so at home, no worries. We've often done so. But we would walk away from Matthew's gospel thinking, did this really take place at Jesus' birth? Or perhaps it took place later on. Even the name Magi adds to the mystery of these people. According to Rachel Billups, quote, "The Greek word for Magi, magos, can mean wise men, but also astrologers or priests. but also magicians or sorcerers as well. Indeed, while we sing of three kings, it seems that their title, it seems that their role suggests that they were viewed in a very different light by those they crossed paths with, by King Herod, by his council, and by Mary. So what might all this uncertainty about the Magi or about these visitors reveal about heaven's light and our part in the Christmas story? Could it be that the presence of the Magi is meant to pique our curiosity? That their presence is meant to keep our hearts open to those we are uncertain about? In her Advent study, Rachel writes, quote, "Could it be that right here in the Christmas story, God is challenging our assumptions, messing with our definitions of whom God chooses and uses for God's purpose? Never put boundaries around the places God chooses, the people God uses, and what God chooses to do. Our boundaries keep people out. In our worst days, and on our worst days, they discourage folks from coming close to the Savior." End quote. After all, it doesn't sound like the Magi would be among those we cast today, much less back then, to herald the arrival of a newborn king, to point out the arrival of the Messiah. Far from the center of Judaism or the religious elite of the time, they were a curious people from the East, outsiders, if you will, whom God used to show the rest of the world through a star in the sky that God indeed had come to dwell among us. N.T. Wright, the former Bishop of Durham in the Church of England and well-known New Testament scholar, tells the story of having purchased a picturesque home. And in his description of it, I kind of envision it as a home in the country. And in telling this story, he writes, "We had just moved house to a dream location, quiet, secluded, at the end of a road near a lake." Can you picture it? Everything seemed peaceful. Then, on the first Saturday night, we were all there. All chaos broke loose. Loud music, amplified voices making announcements, cheers, fireworks, all going all well into the small hours, keeping our young children awake. We were appalled. Was this going to happen every weekend? Where was the noise coming from? Why had nobody told us about this before we bought the house? Well, even I could tell you why. In the morning, the explanation came. No, it wasn't a regular occurrence. It would only happen once a year. It was a local yacht club's annual party celebrating some great event in the sailing calendar. We returned to our tranquility, but it left me thinking about how one person's celebration can be really annoying for someone else, especially if they don't understand the reason for the party. It was a while ago, but if you remember the movie My Cousin Vinny, and he's trying to find that place to finally fall asleep without being woken up in the middle of the night. I kind of envisioned that N.T. Wright's story like that, but a little bit with a British accent instead of that New York accent. Happening to stumble upon N.T. Wright's story here, and with Rachel Billups' Advent study and lesson on the Magi in mind, I began to ponder the role of curiosity in our Advent season. I began to ponder, what does curiosity look like as we come upon Christmas? After all, it sounds like curiosity was at an all-time low in the Wright household, frustrated when a mysterious and intrusive celebration at night disturbed their otherwise tranquil setting in the sleep of the young children. And yet, Billups, in her story and study, points to how God uses a curious people from the East, how God uses the Magi, the wise men, to help announce the arrival of Jesus. Indeed, all too often, it seems that we have less and less room today for curiosity, less and less room for deviation from what we know. On both sides of the coin, on both sides of our political spectrum, and on both sides of the church today, less and less room. For uncertainty. Less and less room for what we don't know or understand. Less and less room for the outsider. And yet, when it came to revealing God's own Son and His arrival into the world, when it came to bringing those who bowed down and worshiped Jesus, who did God bring into the picture? It wasn't a people like me. It wasn't a priest. It wasn't somebody in the center of the religious life. It wasn't the king of Judea or anyone in his inner circle. Nor was it on that day anyone from within God's chosen people. God chose the wise men, the Magi, the outsiders. People were still curious about today. And so I have to wonder, what role does curiosity play in our seeking of heaven's light this Christmas? Because for so many of us, that's what we seek. To encounter heaven's light once again, breaking into our world. And so what role does curiosity play in drawing near to heaven's celebration of Jesus' advent, of Jesus' coming to dwell among us? And so I'm wondering, is there someone in your circle of family or friends, or a circumstance that will be right alongside everyone around the dinner table this Christmas that you need to be more curious about? Maybe circumstances, maybe decisions leave you curious. Well, why would you have ever done that? And maybe that decision or maybe those circumstances within the relationship leave them on the outside, having once been on the inside. Is there a relationship or circumstance that God needs to do a work in us to make us more curious to understand them? Or are there people in our community or in our very church to whom you need God's help to open up to? More curious about their views, more curious about their understandings, more curious about their life's path, more curious about their story and how God might bring them into yours to show you again God's incarnate presence with us. I'm wondering, have you ever wondered what it must have been like for Mary? To have this infant or toddler by her side. And to have a curious people show up on her doorstep. These magi, these wise men, these astrologers or magicians or sorcerers. What was it like, presumably without others at her side, to welcome them in? And yet, perhaps with her own curiosity, Mary does just this. She welcomes them in. And these curious people are invited to come even closer to heaven's light, to heaven's joy. And do you remember what their response was? Drawing that much closer to God's presence among them, they bowed down and worshiped him. And then they opened their treasure chests and gave him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. May we extend a similar curiosity to others this Advent, that we too might draw closer to all that God has given us to celebrate Christmas. Amen. Amen. Let us draw together with our prayers. Let us pray. Almighty God, indeed, like the wise men, we have been on a journey this Advent season. In some ways, it seems like it's been so long ago since we began this path. having just celebrated with family and friends, Thanksgiving, and Christmas feeling yet far away. And yet here we are, the fourth Sunday in Advent, on the doorsteps of Christmas yet again. And Lord, through your word and through Matthew's telling of the Christmas story, you invite us to draw near. And yet your invitation comes through a curious people. Those we might understand to some degree through our study or through our celebration of Christmas. And yet perhaps those we might not fully understand. And through it all, O Lord, in telling us your story, you invite us yet again to discover our own story in yours. So, Lord, in the coming days and in the Christmas season, stir that curiosity within us. Perhaps we have to be more curious about those who are in our circles, family members or friends or neighbors that we haven't fully understand. Lord, help us to see them with grace, that we might see how you're working in their life, or how you might draw us once again into their lives, that we might see your presence. And do that same work in our hearts with people in our community, in our nation, whom we don't understand. And indeed, O Lord, we're mindful even now here in Advent that there are events in this world that want us to close our circles, to stop being curious. Events that are discouraging, O Lord, and frightening. As we think of the violence in the school in Wisconsin, or the attack that took place in a Christmas market in Germany. Indeed, O Lord, those events and so much more leave us wanting to be less curious. And yet, O Lord, you have shown us once again that there are no bounds to your grace, that there are no bounds to who you call to help tell the story of your presence among us. So open our hearts to you and to others as we look to draw near to you once again this Christmas season. Lord, all this we pray in the name of Jesus, who has taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. All right, let's have a showing of hands. How many stood out, did it stand out to you that we sung about three wise men? All right, you better listening. That's all right. That's all right. So long as we understand the Christmas story, yes? You know, I imagine that there are people in my life present along the way who look upon me as a curious people, not quite fully understanding, you know, really, God, you know? I think of my in-laws as they first came into the family, and I was someone they didn't know, or maybe I hadn't treated them as warmly as I might want to a future in-law. They look upon me as a curious people. Or people in the church, you know, people, that ordination process, being brought into the church, or perhaps youth counselors who worked with me as I was entering into ministry. Oh, that's a curious person they've brought to us. But then I know I've also known curious people who I thought of as curious. Really, God, you're working in their life? Really, God, they have a place in your story? Somehow, some way, God has kept me curious. And it's a beautiful scene when God shows up, and we can understand why. And so may we be curious as we step into the Christmas season and celebrate the birth of Jesus. Amen? Amen. Amen.